Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture here in James chapter 4, and this is really kind of part of a larger series that we've been doing on Fear Not, and we've been looking at different aspects of Fear Not and why we can fear not, and we looked at it several weeks ago about fear not because God lives in you. You know, John said, he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Test the spirit, see whether they're of God, first things first, but then know that he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And so then we looked at last week, fear not, because you know God's voice. In other words, you have the ability to know whether something's of God or whether something's not of God. So we walked through how we do that, how we test something, whether it's of God or not of God. And we noticed that we're not in our testing of things that we don't become fine connoisseurs of evil, you know, that we have to know all the nuances of evil and things like that. We're just testing, is this God or is this not God? And we looked last week, kind of a quick little test, is it Christ-centered? Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will glorify me. When you begin to get thoughts and things in your heart, it's going to get you Christ-centered. All right, that's kind of a quick test. Another one test was love. Is it bringing you in the direction of love? You know, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth except that which is good to the use of edification. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger be put away from you. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. So that same Holy Spirit, the greater one that's in you, if you begin to step out of love, you're going to sense his grieving. I've kind of said this a few times. You know, I'm thankful for that. I'm not thankful that I grieve the Holy Spirit, but I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit grieves when I step out of love, to reel me back in, because you know that there's something not right. We're just talking about testing the spirits. You know it's going to be Christ-centered. You know it's going to be love. It's not going to allow you to get out of love and justify something that's not love. The Spirit of God will grieve when we do that, get into corrupt communication, things like that. And then finally, we just said peace. There's going to be an element of peace about it, that we know that peace that he guides us with, that we let that peace of God rule. It passes our understanding, but there's going to be something about peace. We looked at the wisdom that's from above. It's first pure and peaceable, gentle. That demonic wisdom is full of self-seeking and you know, every evil work. You know, so you can kind of tell by the voice. So that was a kind of a quick overview last week in terms of fear not. You know the voice of God. You can tell. You can test whether something is God or not God. And that's really, we said the simple test is you test the spirit whether it's of God or not. That's all I need to know. Is this God or is this not God? If this is not God, I have no moral obligation to it. But this week, we wanted to kind of come along to another area, and this is where, as you're dealing with things that are not God, all right? We said there's things that are God. The Holy Spirit's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth. He'll give you revelation. You might journal those things. You might sing those things. There's great, wonderful, powerful things that you get when you test the spirit, and you find that it's God. It can be life-changing. One word from God can change your life. But most those things that are not God, you do something with those things. And when you deal with the things that are not God, that's what we want to deal with today, okay? The stuff that's not God. How do you handle that? What do you do with that when you're fearing not that stuff? And we're going to take a look at a few scriptures this morning. We'll kind of put them together and look at an idea here. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Therefore, this is the you know, James speaking, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, okay? So this is James telling the believers 2,000 years ago, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So you see this resisting, and then you see a submitting to God, a resisting, and then there's drawing near to God. There's this sweet drawing near, this fellowship aspect. Proverbs says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So here we see where, you know, the proverb writer is describing the name of the Lord as this place of refuge, of strength, of protection. But it's also this place of rest and safety, that you can stay there and be protected, all right? And these two thoughts, I want to pull together, resisting and resting, okay? And that's really where we're going today. Fear not, resisting and resting. And we may just get to the resisting side of it this morning and do the resting part next week. We'll see how it goes. But I want these two concepts, these two ideas, to be together in your heart. I want them to be together in your thinking. Because a lot of times when you get into this stuff over here, as we're exhorted, New Testament, to resist the devil, there's a lot of things that can kind of be conjured up in your mind. What does that mean? You know, that meant something to those guys 2,000 years ago. He wrote it, and it meant something to them. To submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, there is a thought, there is something that carried with it, that there is a departing. You know, when you go on throughout this verse, he's talking about repenting and getting your heart right and making a clean break and living all out for God, putting your focus on God, resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. But here again, as we're talking about this, fear not, we want to talk about resisting. And what does this mean? All right? When we're talking about, I've heard, you know, kind of, you know, Bible school and different things like that, exhortations, you know, when you talk about resisting the devil, you know, me and you both have probably heard of, you know, everything you can think of and a few things you shouldn't have thought of, you know, when it comes to resisting the devil. You can get weird, you can get goofy, flaky, and, you know, we're not going to be preaching out of the book of imaginations this morning. We're going to be preaching out of the Bible. We're going to be preaching out of the Word of God, and we're going to see exactly what did that mean, resist the devil. What does that mean specifically, to resist the devil? To try to demystify that a little bit, and to see in a practical sense, as New Testament believers, how we do that, how we can take authority over these spiritual forces that were acknowledged 2,000 years ago then, we still have them today. All right, and here we see the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And kind of as we get into this, like I said, we're going to be talking about resisting and resting. Because when we talk about resisting, resisting is part of your freedom and your deliverance, but there is a resisting and resting that goes hand in hand. Sometimes you can see people that are just so focused on the resisting side, and it's a heavied out thing, you know, where you're just kind of living in this place of constant, continual resisting. There's resisting, but there's resting when you've resisted. There's a flow. And like I said, for me, this is stuff I've been around these circles, around this theologically for 30, 35 years. So for me, I've just been around the block on this, and I've done a few things, you know, here and there, and, you know, trying things and working this with your ego and tones of voice and getting mad and doing all that kind of stuff. I've probably messed this up personally with a good heart, trying to do the right thing, but have grown in this. And I've just seen some things. And, you know, there's a great exhortation that the Apostle Paul gives Timothy, a young pastor back in their day. He said, you know, Timothy, he said, consider yourself and the doctrine. Continue in them. In doing this, you'll save both yourself and those who hear you. So it's not just the doctrine of resisting the devil. I'm considering myself and the doctrine. I'm considering how I have practically worked this out in my life. And that's what I'm just believing in my heart as you're hearing the resisting side this morning, that you're going to catch that practical, sensible way that we as New Testament Christians take authority over the devil, and how it's right there in the Word of God. It's part of what we need to do. But again, seeing that other concept married right with it, resting. There's going to be a flow of this, okay? Whether we get it in today or likely next week, you'll see that continuity of flow from resisting to resting in Christ. So let's go ahead and we'll get started. Fear not, resisting and resting. The first part of the resisting, we're resisting by faith, okay? We're resisting by faith. And I just want to bring out the first point here, and that is that resisting is necessary. Resisting is necessary. In other words, here we see here in 1 Peter 5, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while in your resisting, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So here we see again a second admonition. The first one was from James. This one is from Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, we have an adversary. He is the devil. He walks about like a roaring lion. Now, of course, this is all allegorical. You're not going to see a lion walking around. You're not going to see things with your natural eyes. And yet there will be an adversary that seems to be coming after you that's going to roar. And those roars are going to be thoughts in your head. They're going to be roars, and they can be fear and confusion and depression. He'll roar that stuff, seeking whom he may devour. Well, who may he devour? Who may he not devour? Verse 9, resist him. This is important to understand. Resisting the devil is not for, you know, crazy charismatics or people who just don't, you know, who are just kind of out there and a little off. Resisting the devil is a New Testament admonition that's given to Christians. It's great. We're going to be good people. We're going to love God. We're going to do the right things. But there are times. There were times in Jesus' life. We know Jesus never missed it. Jesus was perfect, the perfect model of perfection. And yet at times, he had to resist the devil. Okay? So this isn't about, if I'm just good enough and nice enough, I just never have to deal with that adversary. Yeah, you do. There are going to be times you're going to need to resist in Jesus' name. There's going to be times you're going to have to take authority. So this is what I just want to get across. Resisting is necessary. Now, when it comes to the devil again, a lot of times you got either two ditches. You either kind of got the extreme where you're just looking for devils everywhere and on pins and needles and calling everything a devil. You know, the old Flip Wilson adage, the devil made me do it. Kind of blaming everything on the devil. The devil, the devil, the devil. Being devil conscious. You know, I like to say this a lot. Every day I get up is not another day to fight the devil. It's another day to live for God. If the devil gets in the way, I'll deal with him. I don't live devil conscious, all right? That's an extreme. But there's also another ditch of devil ignorant, where you're ignorant of his devices. You're ignorant of his existence. You're ignorant of these thoughts that I just can't seem to shake, but there's no understanding of this scriptural principle of needing to resist. That's ignorance. So it's a spiritual ignorance. And when there is no devil in your life, there is no such thing as the devil, then all this begins to get ascribed to flesh and blood and people and situations and politics and all that kind of stuff, because there is no spiritual force that you can deal with. We don't want to be this either. We don't want to be devil ignorant. So we've got to get in the middle of the road. We live for God. If we sense roars coming against, then we know what to do. We resist him. Now, it's important to understand that's kind of the theology of it, but let's go under the hood of that theology a little bit. Think about your salvation. The power of a human being to speak and declare things. The fact that you're made in the likeness and the image of God is very powerful when it comes to this stuff right here. You're not an animal. You're not an evolved animal. Satan has worked overtime to demote man to an animal status because animals don't have authority over the devil. We debate the origins and all that. That's kind of our deal. There's a bigger fish to fry here. The bigger thing about demoting man to it is authority. Because man, who's created in the image of Almighty God, has authority in the earth to speak words. There are words I can speak that animals can't. There are words human beings can speak that affect the spirit realm. It's profound when you think of your own salvation. When Cornelius got saved, he was a good man, but an angel appeared to him, and this is what he said. This is actually Peter relating the situation. He said, he told us, Cornelius told us, how he had seen an angel standing in his house and said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Think of this. Somebody's going to get saved, and that angel told Cornelius, send men to Joppa, get Peter, bring him over here. He's going to tell you words. And through these words, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Through these words, you're going to get saved. Words being preached to you, human beings preaching words, God words, have the power in the spirit realm to deliver good news. And the apostle Paul put it this way, on the receiving end of that, what does he say? If you confess with your mouth, you hear those words, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A human being speaking words, words he's received, he's heard that can save him, he believes them, and he speaks words back and says, I believe. That's a powerful transaction. Just again, in principle, looking under the hood, spiritual transactions, human beings receiving words, declaring words, and spiritual stuff happening. This is why it's so important to realize we're made and created in the likeness and the image of Almighty God. You understand? When he created man, he breathed his life. He breathed his breath into man. You're special. You have authority in the earth. The Bible, in fact, says, it says these things regarding salvation are the very things angels desire to look into. When a human being speaks words, the spirit realm stands at attention. You have the attention of the spirit world. You confess with your mouth. There is nothing, usually when this happens, the sky doesn't open up. You don't see anything in the natural. It's faith. You're saved by grace through faith. I'm declaring something. I'm believing something. And things are happening in that spirit realm. So it's important to understand resisting is necessary and that you have power. You know, read the proverb, the power of life and death is in the tongue. In fact, there are people who don't know God on the demonic side who understand the power of words and will use it on the dark side and will curse and will do all kinds of chants and incantations and things like that just because they're creating the image of God and they're yielding themselves to an evil force and creating oppressive and wicked and destructive things because they know there's a certain power there because you're human beings. Well, on this side, as we're talking about human beings and children of God resisting the devil, we also have an awareness and a recognition that we have an adversary who goes about, and we've been admonished over and over, resist, resist, resist. We have the ability to resist. And that when we resist with our words, there is a powerful transaction in the same way of our salvation that takes place when we declare the word of God, okay? I'm just kind of setting this up in terms of understanding the importance of resisting. You know, you got saved ultimately because you heard words and you spoke words. You're going to be able to resist because you're going to hear words, understand words, and you're going to speak words. Ultimately, the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God. When you're swinging the sword of the Spirit, it's God's word coming out your mouth. Okay? This is important. This is not weird. This is not off. This is normal 101 Christianity that we're not to be ignorant of anymore. This is supposed to be natural. It doesn't put us over here in some weird, hooky, you know, spooky place where we're just kind of seeing everything as devils. But we're not staying here either. We're getting in the middle of the road and we're realizing some stuff and not learning to live on top of stuff year after year after year after year when you all along you can say no in Jesus' name. So we're getting right here and we're learning what's what. And I want to get into the weeds this morning of what's what because this is what I've walked through. when you've resisted things and it keeps coming back over and over, the repetition. Is it gone? Is it the flesh? Is it the devil? That's where we're going. I'm just wanting you to understand this is important to do, all right? But we're going to get specifically about what's what as you're resisting, as you're taking authority over stuff. That brings us to the next one here. I just want to close out with this as far as the necessity. Ephesians, he's talking about the armor of God, the Apostle Paul. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, powers, principalities. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench. Look at this promise. The shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So here we're seeing some things, and I had that image in my mind over here of somebody who's devil ignorant. And they're standing over here, and in their mind there is no devil, and they're getting pummeled with fiery darts. And their fiery darts from head to toe as they look up to heaven and stick their fist in God's face and say, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why are you doing this to me? To which God would say, lift that shield of faith. Swing that sword of the Spirit. Resistance is necessary. Do you understand? This is not for some whacked out charismatic thing who got way off on religion. This is normal 101 Christianity. And this is important to know it, to be instinctive in your spiritual DNA, that you're sober, that you're vigilant, not whacked out, but sober and vigilant and aware to be able to deal with some things. Praise God. I just think God really wants to get that across. I didn't mean to preach this quite like this, but I just sense that. There's just stuff in the air. I don't know. I just want this to be real to you. Do you understand? That's your shield of faith. That's your sword of the Spirit. God got that for you. It's His armor. He gave it to you to be used. Paul said this 2,000 years ago. This is all allegorical stuff talking, but in the Spirit who's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth, He's going to witness to the truth of this and how to overcome stuff. So, praise God. We're not called to tolerate demonic influences. We are called to resist them. Resistance is not futile. Resistance is necessary. All right? And we're going to talk about that now just in terms of the resisting side as we get into how to resist. What do we mean by that in a non-mystical, weird sense, but in a very practical New Testament sense? How do I resist those things coming against my mind? We see there's a shield of faith, and there's a sword of the Spirit. So we're going to learn basically what that means. First of all, you're going to resist by faith, resisting in the name of Jesus. Resisting in the name of Jesus. There's really two huge, spiritual, powerful things. We know He that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. How does the greater one come out? When we're resisting, how does this great power, who's greater than my strength and ability, I can't push back powers and principalities with natural weapons. I need something supernatural, and it's going to work by faith. How does that greater one in me get out? He shows us how the greater and the power of the greater one gets out. One of the great ways is we resist in the name of Jesus. All right? Before we actually get into how to resist in the name of Jesus, we need to understand something about the name of Jesus. And this is really backstory. We know Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We think about that. But something else happened at the cross when he went there. And this is Colossians 2:15. New King James says, having disarmed principalities and powers, these are the ones that are warring against us, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Talking about his cross. Here's the Passion says, then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. All right, so he's on the cross here, yeah, and he did it. Yeah, not only did he take, become sin with our sin, but he also broke the power of Satan. He broke his power here. I mean, you think about it, they never got him to sin one time. Tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. The scripture tells us in Romans that, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh so that he could experience what we experience, so that he could condemn sin in the flesh. In other words, I, Ed House, or whoever you are, you can't call out sin with moral authority because you've sinned. But the one who's never sinned can call out sin. He has the moral authority. Not only did he call out sin and condemn sin in the flesh, but he also disarmed principalities and powers. He not only called out sin, he called out every power, every principality, every name that is named. He called it out and he disarmed it and he broke it with the power of his name. Okay? When he arose from the dead, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Something about that name. Well, there was some heavy lifting done at the cross that gave the name its authority that we enjoy today. You know, I like to, especially at communion time, I kind of go back to the old money, the old currency. I was a coin collector as a kid, and my grandpa gave me one of these old dollar bills. They used to call them horse blankets. It was a 1923, I think it was, huge dollar. But the thing of it was a silver certificate. And you could, at that day, take that dollar bill, and you could bring it to the bank, and they would weigh out the equivalency in mineral value, metal. In other words, that money, there was a day when our money was actually backed by actual substance resource. You know, it's not that way anymore, but then it was backed. And that's the thing you got to understand too. When you're saying the name of Jesus, it's backed by this. It's backed by what he did 2,000 years ago. It's not backed by how I'm feeling today. It's not backed by anything of me. It's backed purely by the work of redemption when he spoiled powers and principalities, when he took authority over them. Okay, and so, let me see here. So as we're looking at that, let's take a look at an example. Let's take a look at an example of how somebody in the New Testament used the power of the name of Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul. It says, now it happened, this is the second missionary journey. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us, cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God to proclaim to us the way of salvation." Well, that sounds very theologically correct. And she did this for many days. All right? Obviously, she was saying it in a way that was not glorifying God. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Now, quick side note before we delve into this. We know that there's another story in Acts, seven sons of Sceva. You ever heard of that? They tried to do this in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the Spirit spoke back to them and said, "You know, Jesus we know, Paul we know, who are you?" And basically beat him up. This is not hocus pocus. This is not magic tricks. This is something that is an authority given to the child of God for the purpose of deliverance and freedom. Now here, let's note a couple things regarding Paul and what he was dealing with when he was dealing with a spirit. You'll notice it said many days. That's kind of the nature of a spirit. There's just this many days, rat, tat, tat, repetition. It's like wherever I go, it's just like, ugh. And when you're dealing with the Spirit, you know, and you might not always know right away what it is or what's going on. You might discern this over some time. But you're going to see it was over many days. So there is a sense of repetition and harassing. You can see these men are the servants of the Most High God. There's a harassing, there's an undermining, there's something that's not right. And it's over and over and over again. And then when Paul heard the words, he spoke to the Spirit. I mean, the girl might have been right there, but he wasn't speaking to the girl. He was speaking to the Spirit. And this is what we talked about several weeks back. When you're taking authority in the greater one, you know, there is a spiritual, when you've got thoughts in your head, there's a spiritual side and there's a mental side. And when you're taking authority, those thoughts can give clue as to the spiritual force behind them. But I'm taking authority. I'm looking past the thoughts. Paul was looking past what that spirit was saying and spoke to the Spirit. And this is where we're talking about resisting. You're speaking to the spirit of something. You're speaking to the spiritual influence by faith as a human being created in the image of Almighty God with the promise and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. This isn't role-playing. This is faith. The same faith that says, yes, Jesus, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe God did raise you from the dead. You're saying that same faith, and now you're directing it according to the Word of God in a way that's pushing back darkness. And what the Apostle Paul said here is he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. All right? Now, this is in a sense of a ministry usage of that name. The power, though, is in the name. Okay? So whether you're using this name in a ministry sense on behalf of somebody else, or whether you are resisting the devil steadfast in the faith, whether you're dealing with your own roaring lion that you are now annoyed at and you don't want to have to deal with anymore, whether you're dealing with that, it's the same authority. And this is, I love how simple it is. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. That is quick. That is simple. It's not an all-day event of resisting the devil. It's just faith in the name. That's what it is. You know, if you were to personalize it in the self way, I mean, I would just, in my roaring lions situations, I would just say it like this. If I'm dealing with that kind of harassing, I would just say, I resist, I would speak to the Spirit. Now, in your mind's eye, you're speaking. Not that thought, you're not getting, you know in your heart and your mind, there's a spirit that's not right, that's not of God. You're just saying, I resist you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stop harassing me and go in Jesus' name. That's it. Now, Paul was annoyed when he resisted. There may have been some annoyance that came through his voice. But it wasn't the annoyance in his voice that chased those demon spirits away. There's no authority in your annoyance. If it annoys you enough to finally do what the Bible tells you to do, then great. It's a catalyst for obeying God. But all authority and all power is in the name of Jesus. And so this is where when you do resist, it's, and I say short and sweet, I would say short and deliberate. All right? It's deliberate. Not dramatic. Deliberate. This is like me getting saved. I believe in Jesus' name. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I resist you. Your power is broken. And in my mind's eye, that thing is gone. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You're working. You're working. That's faith. You're believing God. Short and sweet. Short and deliberate. I think of resisting the devil like a pit stop in a race. I'm racing and something's off. I got to take a pit stop. Pit stop crews do not pride themselves in how long it takes to get a car back on the road. It's how quickly you can get back on the road. Like we said, every day I live is another day to live for God. If he gets in the way, I'll get him out of the way, but I'm living for God. He's a nuisance. I'm getting him out of the way. But my heart As I'm living, if my true north, Jesus, I'm doing it, but I'm getting rid of that distraction in Jesus' name. So it's quick. It's not something that I'm laboring on. Because as soon as you begin to labor and think, oh, or compare to the last time you resisted, or tones of voice, or authority, or volume, or da-da-da-da-da, it's Jesus. That's the authority. And so you don't have to get worked up. Sometimes you are annoyed, and we can get annoyed because we just kind of put up with stuff. It's like, oh, no more. In Jesus' name, no. I'm resisting that by the power of the name. He didn't command him in the name of his frustration. He commanded him in the name of Jesus Christ. His authority was in Christ. And again, I'm just trying to tell you how I've done it right, done it wrong. I've done different things. And you know, sometimes you do something, and it's like, wow, that broke. And so the next time it happens, you try to do it exactly the way you did it last time. Tone of voice, thought, swag, there's just nothing there. Praise God. You did it. You spontaneously did it. The only thing that caused that thing to go was the power of the name of Jesus. I'm not trying to have a persona, a resistance persona. There's no such thing. The kingdom of darkness responds to your words. When human beings speak, the spiritual world stops and takes notice. And when you're speaking authority in that name, what have you done? Now you've put the ball in his court. Now the ball is in the spirit world's court. A child of God has just done what the Father God commanded him to do when I do what I did. Now it's in my court. What am I doing? Even though I can't see it, you're working. Even though I can't feel it, in my mind's eye, he's gone. Gone. Simple. That's all there is to it. No drama. Let yourself believe that. Let yourself go there. Just as simple as you get saved by faith, you resist by faith in the name of Jesus. That authority is purely 100% in the name of Jesus. And then secondly, as we're talking about resisting by faith, there's a resisting by faith, and we're resisting in the power of God's word. All right? We actually see this is how Jesus resisted. It's the authority and the power of the word. But as we're looking at this again too, Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, for the word of God is living. Now, just the word of God is living. It is not just ink on paper. This is what captures it. In the same way, in the negative side, when you can see powers and principality registers as thoughts, but you know there's a spiritual significant force behind it. When you look at these words, they register as thoughts, but there's a powerful Holy Spirit God behind it that's living and powerful in these words. And the word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. In other words, when you kind of get foggy and you don't know where things, and you kind of know what's what, the word isn't foggy. The word is crystal clear. The word knows what's what. The word knows what spirit, the word knows what soul, the spirit knows the difference between the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the power of the word of God. And I love this. We know Jesus Christ is the word of God. And what I love about this passage is the scripture talk, you know, in this passage it says the word of God. And if you look at it in the Greek, it's logos, the written word of God. The written word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. But then in verse 13 it says, and there's no creature hidden from his sight. Now we've just personified the written word of God, who is Jesus. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, speaking from the word of God, verse 12, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So when we're talking about resisting in the power of the word of God, we're talking about resisting in the power of the words that he's given to us through the scriptures. And the thing that we have to keep in mind too is, as I'm resisting by faith, I can't see the power, the principality. I'm just doing it by faith because I got natural eyes and I can't see that into the spirit realm. But he can see it. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. As I'm resisting with the word of God, I remember that even though I'm doing this by faith and I can't see it, he does see. He does know exactly. In the room, there are things, powers, principality, and the work in this room. I can't see him. You can't see him. God can see him. God sees the natural and he sees the spiritual realm. He can see both at the same time. He's not restricted. All things are naked and open before him. There's things that are confusing to me that are just not confusing to him. And as I'm going by faith and as I'm taking authority over that power, principality, whatever, I take heart in my mind knowing even though I can't see it, he sees it exactly. And as I'm resisting by faith, I know that he is dealing with that exactly. Even though that spirit knows I can't see it with my natural eye, that power, principality is not hidden from his eye. He's naked. That spiritual force is naked and open. That's important to keep in mind. That's your Lord. That's the one whose name you're calling on. That's the one whose name you're taking authority. And so as you're doing that, you begin to see that, praise God, there's authority, there's power in this word, okay? Let me put it this way. When I'm dealing with a power or principality, well, let's take a look at Jesus, how he did that. It says, again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. This is God, you know, Jesus and Satan. And he said to him, to Jesus, all these things I will give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So we see Jesus is taking the word and he's declaring it. Now, I just want to make a distinction here too. The word of God is amazing. When you listen to the word of God, I mean, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. No height, no depth, no created thing. You can listen to the word of God and you can be emotionally inspired by it. Okay? But it's not the emotional inspiration of the word, again here, that has resisting effect on the devil. Satan is not intimidated even by my inspiration. It's the authority of the word of God. So when I'm declaring the word, like if I'm saying, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, it's not in the same category as like reciting poetry for inspiration to feel good. And yes, he really has, and I really don't have, and God does. And there can be some emotional inspiration that comes out of it. But this is not resisting. This is not resisting. This is what the scripture calls the sword of the spirit. In your heart, you're resisting the devil. In other words, I'm not trying to get emotionally inspired here. I'm taking what God has said and I'm believing something. I'm believing in my heart. I'm seeing it. I'm declaring it. So when it's coming out, Jesus says, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. There's authority. He said that with authority, not for personal inspiration's sake, but because it's true. And so when you're resisting by the word of God, and maybe you are dealing with some kind of a spiritual, you know, power, principality, things like that, that's where it's powerful to take the word of God and begin to declare it. Here's an example, Ephesians 4. Let's say you're dealing with issues. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe you're dealing with just, oh, I'm so frustrated. I can't seem to forgive this person. Ugh. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. It is written, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edification that may impart grace to the hearers. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Again, not poetry, but alive, living words that are coming out by faith as you're directing them, as you're speaking to the Spirit, the Word of God in your heart. Okay? Now, I want to deal with this issue. I want to deal with this. I'm going to close with this. And this is the issue of repetition. Okay? I resist. I take authority. And, you know, 7 seconds later, boomerang, I'm back in the same funk I just was before I resisted. You know, before I resisted. And so you've got this kind of thing going on. What is going on? How, you know, can I get free and stay free? Sometimes you're going to deal with that. This is always kind of the big question. As you're resisting, You know, because you can be resisting things from without, powers, principalities, the devil. But sometimes there can be things from within, which we would call the flesh. Okay? Hatred is a work of the flesh that you could have to deal with. That's just, you're dealing with it internally because it's something you're feeding and it's growing and you got to put it under. But then, again, there can also be a spirit force of hatred that is attacking and harassing. And so a lot of times we get into this, it just all registers as thoughts, whether it's from without or from within. And so we're saying, okay, what is this? Am I dealing with a spirit of something, or is this just my flesh that I need to put under, okay? Sometimes, let's bring it back to salvation again too. Sometimes people, they'll get saved, and the alcohol is gone, but those cigarettes take a while to get free from. When a person gets born again, sometimes you got those spiritual influences are just gone because you're a new creation. There's stuff as an unbeliever, you get saved and it's just gone. It's just because it's not part of your identity. That new work, that new man, that new creation, it's just, it's not there. It's gone. You're free. Other stuff, when you're over here, that was just an addiction that lingers after the new birth, you still have to get victory over some of those things, okay? And so there are these different things that are going on. This is what I want to get across, and this is why this message goes hand in hand with next week's resisting and resting, all right? There is a rest that goes hand in hand with resisting. But I want to kind of finish out the resisting part here as it comes to what is this? Is it my flesh? Is it the devil? Is what is going on? And we looked at, I think it was last week, how demonic wisdom is both. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. And that's kind of what we said. A lot of times, if you're dealing with something, you took authority, and it just doesn't seem to be going, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back. There's a good chance. There's a good chance you're dealing with a work of the flesh. There's something in there, what we've called, if you want to go back and do some homework, we did a message last year called the middle flesh, an expose. There's a lot of middle flesh, you know, hatred, anger, contentions, outbursts of wrath. That's all flesh, not demon spirits. It's just flesh you can put under and get victory over. But the way the devil works is he uses them both. It's like a 1-2 punch for him. And I related a story that, you know, happened to me last year as I was out walking. And as I was out walking, I was just walking along the road, and I could see from a distance there was something, it was roadkill, but it was so infested with flies and bugs, I couldn't even tell what it was. It was one of those things. And so as I'm walking toward it, I just, you know, I don't even want to look at it. I don't even want to figure out what it was. It's just that hideous with all this activity. And so I'm walking around it, and it's funny, as soon as I walked around it, I got this revelation from God. I got the word of the Lord. I got a prophetic word from a piece of roadkill with a bunch of flies. And the Lord said this to me. He said, Ed, if you want to keep the flies from buzzing around your face, you got to get the roadkill out of your head. Now, in this allegory, the roadkill is like the flesh, and the flies are like demon spirits, you know, the influences and powers. You know, I can resist all day long, but if I'm feeding myself on a bunch of junk, I'm just basically calling him back. You know what I'm saying? And so the power of the Word of God is the Word of God can do both. The Word of God can take authority over any external powers, and the Word of God by the Spirit can put to death the deeds of the body. And that's what the Scripture says here. It says, now you yourselves put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. It's kind of all the middle flesh stuff. Don't lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. So, quick example. Maybe you're dealing with something, and it's like, oh, I just can't shake this. It seems like unforgiveness, bitterness. I just can't shake this. Get out of this. Well, man, by faith, take your authority. Look past the noise. take authority over that spirit, and you could say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. Stop harassing me. Go in Jesus' name quick. You know, do that. And in your mind's eye, see that gone. All right, we're going to get a little bit more into the resting next week. It'll flow. But just for now, you do that by faith. But also, as things would still keep coming back, and it seems to keep coming back, then begin to treat it like this. Then you begin to say, it is written. Let's say, you know, 15 minutes later, you get the same thing. It doesn't seem to have gone. Then you take that same scripture and you begin to be renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And you begin to say, I'm not resisting the devil here. Now I'm letting that word of God, I'm being transformed by the word of God. I'm declaring this word of God right now. It has a resisting form. It certainly resists, but it's putting to death the deeds of the body. It's putting to death hatred and anger and wrath in me, the power of the word of God. That's what Romans 8:12, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, those works of the flesh. And now you're saying, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And when that noise comes back and you declare that word, there's relief again. There's relief again. But it's not confusion. Why didn't he go the last time? No, I took authority over him in the name of Jesus. In my mind's eye, the spiritual force is gone. Right now, I'm just being transformed. I'm just letting the word renew. I'm being transformed by the renewing. I'm putting on the new man, and I'm being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. When those ugly thoughts come, as the elect of God, I'm putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness that flies in the face of those angry thoughts. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting this on. What am I doing? I am putting to death the deeds of the body. And also, let me put it this way too. As you're faithful to do that, there's not a hard rule. I'm saying this as a general sense, again, considering myself and the doctrine, what I've done. Man, the first time I take authority over any spiritual forces in Jesus' name, after that, man, I'm declaring the word of God. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. When that comes back, I'm swinging the sword of the Spirit. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. Appetites are dying. There's an appetite that wants to get out, and that is putting a cold shower on a fleshly appetite and saying, no, this is it. This is the way. This is the way. It's putting down. It's being put to death. And there's a transformation. There's something that's happening here. Now, as you're doing that, you may know supernaturally by the Spirit of God if there is a spiritual thing. A lot of times the Lord will say, there's a spirit, say this. Then you just do what the Spirit of God shows you to do, okay? I'm just talking to you generally in principle. Take authority over the spiritual side first, and then you begin to allow that word to change you and renew your mind and put on that new man. Praise God. And so, let me just see real quick. I think that is, yeah, that's really what I wanted to get across to this morning. Thanks for staying with me, hanging with me. I really wanted to get in kind of the resisting side. But even at this, I'm still kind of leaving you hanging a little bit because we're going to go into a resting side. You resist and there's a rest. There's a resting in faith. And that is where we're going as you're in that process. Because sometimes you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, it's gone. Other times, you're going to overcome some things. But either way, you come over into a place of rest while the process is working and while you're getting set free. His yoke is easy. His burden is light, even when it comes to the resisting side of things. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the ability, the equipment, the stuff you gave us to be able to resist. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. If your heart can agree with these words, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your armor. I thank you for your command to resist, to not put up with, to not tolerate demonic activity, but take authority in the name of Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm created in the image of God. My words matter. When I speak by faith, things are done. Jesus, you've told me to ask in your name. And whatever I ask, it will be done. I believe that. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that harassing spirit, that shaming spirit, that humiliating spirit of hatred, spirit of fear in anything else that's not God. I speak to the spirit, and I command that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, stop harassing me and go in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you hear me when I pray, and that you have backed my authority by your name. And the spiritual force is broken. Heavenly Father, lead me. Guide me by your word to declare your word and overcome any work of the flesh that would be hindering me as I put on the new man and walk in this new man for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. That's, you know, this is normal Christian stuff. And let me say this too. Don't be intimidated by the thoughts in your head. They can get nasty, can't they? Yeah, they can. Powers and principalities, they don't talk nice, they don't play nice. Your flesh, don't be intimidated by it. It's all in the Word. You got authority over all of it. Get in faith. Know you've got authority over this. Begin to walk in that authority. Praise God, and every stronghold must break. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.